Hey everybody, welcome. We're recording on a little different device today, so we'll see how that goes. I'm actually looking out at a tranquil swamp, a shit swamp. The kind of thing that I would have loved to walk through as a child, lighting off firecrackers, and then staying up all night in bed worrying that I'd burn something down. It's fun to have anxiety as a boy. Let's get right into it. Saw an article a couple people put on the Facebook. I might need to quit Facebook, I think, because it's just awful. Everything that happens on there is awful and makes me upset. And I saw it linked a couple times, and here's the article, Sud Sisters. Few men want, quote, dream woman drinking a beer, survey says. So here's an article about, I guess, how men are horrible. So let's just get right into it. All booze being equal, 12 ounces regular beer equals 1 ounce spirits equals 5 ounces wine. Some booze is more equal than others when you're out on the town with a potential significant other. Or so implies a survey by Wyst, a personalized dining app for iPhone, which found that 61% of men on a date prefer their, quote, dream woman sip a glass of wine or a specialty cocktail. Only 18% of fellas surveyed envision their ideal lady ordering a brewski. Now, there we go. So those are the facts, right? Now let's keep in mind that the facts come from a single dining app for iPhone, all right? This is where all our data is coming from. One that no one's wist? Good. We'll pause for a moment for you to collect your senses in a beer. No judging. Okay. We get that what, and to a degree, how much, we drink can offer insights into our mood and intentions, if not necessarily our character and dateability. And we get, too, that when we let our libations speak for us, especially when we're female, and especially when we're with strangers, let's keep that in mind, what those drinks say isn't always what we meant. Hard liquor, for instance, isn't known for its tact. Consider Sex on the Beach, that perennial co-ed fave, and the many trendy cocktails of its ilk, with names, or I'm sorry, treacly cocktails of its ilk, with names unsuitable for print. Consider the Jaeger Bomb, a drink that says lots of things, none of them potential mother of your children, at least not in the traditional sense. Now hold on, I'm going to stop right there, because as a man on a date, the article, I think, is trying to... Overall, will give us this idea that, hey, women can drink beer too. And I 100% agree with that. But I think that what it's doing is taking data from this dumb app where, here was the question. The question was not, do you think it's okay for women to drink beer? Do you think it's wrong for a woman to drink beer? It was, imagine your dream woman. Just invent a dream woman in your mind. Which is impossible, by the way. Because here's the thing. Your dream woman is a dream woman. The word dream is right in there. Dream is not reality. Dream is just saying, hey, if you could just basically invent a woman, what would she be like? And then you do it. That's it. Whereas, would you date a woman who drinks a beer is a very different question. Or even, would that prevent you from dating her? Because, honestly, I think most men would say, I don't really give a fuck. Right? I really don't. I don't care. However, when you bring up a Jaeger bomb, let's get back to where we are in the article. Let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. I would expect that if I, as a man, ordered a Jaeger bomb on a first date with someone, that might say something negative about me. Because basically, it's like, we're on a first date, I don't even really know you, but I'm going to get hammered. Which to me just says, I don't really know how to go on a date. Because your activity on a first fucking date with someone, assuming you actually want to date them, is probably not going to be setting out from the outset of, well, I'm going to be real wasted. Right? And I'm not saying you can't get wasted on a date. And I'm not saying you can't be wasted and meet somebody you like. I'm not saying anything like that. I'm not even saying that it would be a particular problem for me if the person I was with ordered a Jaeger bomb. I don't really care. But it implies that you're getting drunk more than being on a date. Your number one activity is getting drunk, not being on a date. So let's put the Jaeger bomb aside, because honestly, no one's ordering a fucking Jaeger bomb. No one's ordering an Irish car bomb. No one's ordering any shit like that. Just as a sipping drink sitting at the bar. Ain't nobody doing that. I guess if someone ordered it and then they just sipped on it, I'd be like, well, all right. Okay, here we go. But a martini is hard liquor too, albeit of a classier set. So are mojitos and margaritas, the gal dream date drinks preferred by 26% of men. Oh, wow, just over a quarter. Well, that's a pretty strong endorsement. If a quarter of people want something, what can we do? The vast minority has spoken. It might be a visual thing. Quote, a cocktail just looks more ladylike. It's still booze, you're still drinking, but it just looks better than beer, said Ben Jack. Better, parentheses, than beer. So he didn't even say than beer, said Ben Jackson, general manager at the Ritz in Colorado Springs, who for 18 years has served couples on dates at the upscale downtown restaurant. I certainly see ladies drink more wine and martinis. I think it has a lot to do with calories, and cocktails can be gluten-free. It's all about the way you're perceived. If we serve beer in a fancier glass, ... Unlike wine, most beers don't come in an easily splittable format, Jackson pointed out. Plus, there's nothing romantic about piss water, he added. Careful not to implicate craft beer. He means a big glass of Budweiser. So, I don't, you know, I guess the it just looks more ladylike is a little bit, I don't know. Here's the thing, when you're going off your dream woman, what's your dream woman like? I mean, you have to just sort of construct the platonic woman. By platonic, I don't mean we don't touch each other. I mean the ideal form of a woman. When you just say the word woman, what comes to your head? It may not even be the perfect ideal form. It's just sort of like you need these quick cues to say woman. And so I guess beer doesn't say that to people. I don't know. And I mean, I don't know. It's like, so more ladies are drinking wine and martinis, so why would it be unusual for a man to say, well, I guess my dream woman would probably be drinking wine or a martini, just because that's the image he's been presented with as well. Okay. For a regular slash frequent beer drinker, a cocktail might simply better suit the rarefied atmosphere and attitude of a special occasion. Quote, women will drink for appearances. A drink is an accessory, said Megan Robinson, an amateur stand-up comic in Colorado Springs who often carries a drink with her on stage when performing. Say, something innocuous such as a Blue Moon Belgian Pale Ale. If I'm holding a beer, it's more casual. It would be a night out with the guys. It would mean I'm more open to dude things. I don't want to be dressed up really nice with a beer in my hand. There you go. I mean, it does feel weird. I'll say this. You go to a wedding, right? And they have an open bar. I'm in a suit. It feels weird when they just hand you a Budweiser with a napkin around it. They put a napkin around it, I guess, and you're like, oh, well, this is classy now. It feels a little strange. So I think if I was trying to present myself as classy, I don't know that I would be so much up for drinking a beer, a can of Budweiser with the American flag on it. Now, being classy is not really one of my concerns most of the time, because I'm a fucking grown-up, and I don't need someone on a first date to think that I'm this totally different man than I am on date number 10. I'm not saying I'm not on my best behavior. I'm usually on pretty good behavior, but I'm on good behavior, not being a completely different fucking guy. Alright, you don't have to be a completely different person. How is that going to help you out? It's like, yes, I wouldn't advise passing gas at the table on your first date. Nor would I advise passing gas at the table at all. But hey, if it happens 90 days into a relationship, it doesn't mean the same thing. It just doesn't, because it's one act of 1,000. On your first date, you've only got like 10 little cues or 10 little things that are happening to overanalyze and think about and worry about. So of course, when you're talking about this dream woman you've never met and the first time you meet her, I guess something like a drink might have more significance, which it does. What someone wears on their first date is different and more significant than what they wear on date number a million. Okay? Because there's so many things to go from on date a million. A pint of beer, when properly juxtaposed with elegant, though, can be a thing of beauty, said J.D. Roca, a bartender at V-Bar. If a woman is in a nice black dress and orders a beer, that's cool. It means she can get down and be one of the guys, said Roca, noting that some people on a first date opt not to imbibe at all for fear they'll be perceived as a drinker. So there you go. I mean, okay. Even though women still represent the fast-growing segment of the craft market, beer in the abstract still calls to mind certain dusty gender stereotypes. Us beer-drinking ladies are loud, outspoken, and opinionated. A.K.A. not very ladylike, I guess, said Roca with an apologetic laugh. And here's the thing. They didn't say what question they asked him. Because if they said, what's the stereotype of a woman who drinks beer, and he said, not very ladylike, okay. Yes, that's the stereotype. When people say stereotype, they usually think negative, right? They usually go negative. I just don't understand what's going on in this article. And while modern generations put fruity umbrella concoctions such as daiquiris squarely on the distaff side of the cocktail spectrum, remember that such drinks entered pop culture thanks to many manly men such as Ernest Hemingway and Hunter S. Thompson. It wasn't too long ago that Kaiser Wilhelm II supposedly said, "Give me a woman who truly loves beer and I will conquer the world." Point being, perceptions about drink choice of any kind of extrapolation or associations are very much driven by the zeitgeist. So imagine, if you will, a world where ladies of Sex and the City had met not at Manhattan's trendiest clubs to priss over elaborate cocktails, but dimly lit pubs over pints of piss water. Yeah, whole different story. Okay. Oh, and here's by the numbers, by the way. What men want in a dream date? Her drink choice, wine, 35%. Specialty cocktail, 26%. Beer, 18%. Well drink, 15%. Shot or shooter, 1%. So, by the way, beer is 3% over a well drink. So, basically, it's none. But, I mean, only a third came to agree on wine. And less than a third on specialty cocktail. Okay. You know, and here's like, okay, location. Fun and casual restaurant, 43%. Fancy and elegant restaurant, 34%. Home-cooked meal, 22%. This is what men want on a dream date, is a home-cooked meal. Give me a break. And 57% said he would pay. Of men. So just over half said he would pay. That seems to be a positive sign, right, of equality. 57, so that's half. That's good. I would say that's pretty good. Here's the problem I have with this article and all articles of its ilk, okay? I just read one like a couple weeks ago. It was one of the like, hey, be okay with my body. I gave you children and now my body is different and bigger and it's not okay for me to feel bad about that. Yeah, if your husband makes you feel like shit because of your weight, he's a shithead. I'm not going to disagree with that. I mean, that's horrible. You cannot have a relationship based solely on attraction to your spouse's body. Because, believe me, it's going to change. The body is going to change. It doesn't fucking... Look around at, like, old people. How many hot old people? How many old people are you like, I'd like to get a piece of that? There's, like, none. So if that's all you really like about your spouse, or if that's even the most thing you like about your spouse, you're fucked. I'm going to tell you that right now, you're screwed. But here's the thing I don't like about these articles, okay? What they're doing, like this one and the one about the body and all that, they're taking an issue of a person's romantic ideal, right? Like my romantic ideal, let's say, and turning that into an issue, like an endemic cultural issue. And what that means to me is that in order for equality to be real, no one is allowed to have a preference anymore. And I call bullshit on that. Because here's the thing. All right, this lady, her body's different, whatever. If I'm her fucking coworker, does it matter if I find her body attractive at all? Does that matter? Why would it? I don't care. I don't want to fuck my coworkers. That is not why I co-work with people. I would prefer a coworker who did a bunch of work so I didn't have to do work than a coworker who I found really attractive. That's a zero for me. That does not help me in any way. So why does it matter? And then furthermore, we talked about this on this show before. I don't understand the point of trying to intellectually change someone's preference as far as something romantic, let's say, or what they're attracted to. You are never going to convince someone intellectually to be physically attracted to somebody through an intellectual argument. When you say, yes, humans were designed to have babies, and I had babies, and my body changed like this, and now I'm 55 years old, and my body is different. Explaining why you look the way you do is not going to make me attracted to you. If I'm attracted to you, I'm attracted to you, and if I'm not, I'm not. It's just, I don't understand what stake people have in whether or not I find them attractive. And I'm not somebody either who's going around being like, whoa, did you see Fatso? Jeez, had a baby. She used to be so hot, and I considered her a person of value. Now that she's had a baby, I don't consider her a person of value. Most of the time, if someone has a baby, it does not at all change their value in my eyes, unless it was a friend, because that means I barely fucking see them anymore because they're hanging out with their baby. It's not because I'm like, oh God, I can't go out to a bar anymore with this lady because she's not attractive. It's, I can't go out to a bar anymore because this person's not coming out to bars anymore. That's the biggest change. That's all that I care about. So here's what I would just like to put an end to. I would like to stop doing something like saying, when you ask someone a question about their romantic dream woman question, and they say something, what answer is not sexist in some way? Okay, if you said wine, you're like, oh, because women are supposed to have always drank wine. That's a woman's purview. If you said, like, Cosmo, you'd be like, oh, because women are all supposed to be like Sex in the City. If you said beer, you'd be like, oh, because you want me to be just one of the guys. You don't want me to have my own feminine thing going on. You want me to be just like you. If I said shots of whiskey, it would be like, oh, because you want me to be drunk. Because you don't, like, there's no answer to that question that's, oh, hey, great. Except for the one true answer, which was not an option as far as I can tell, which is, I don't give a fuck. What does my dream woman drink? I don't give a fuck. Because the reality is, your dream woman is a woman who exists and is not perfect in every way. Your dream person, as you grow and you date and you realize reality, your dream person is not this conglomeration of every little facet that you can mold into something perfect, okay? Your dream woman is someone who you really like and get along with great, and there's probably some shit that would be different if you had constructed this person from whole clay. That's not gonna happen. Until they make, like, sex-slash-personality robots that are indistinguishable from regular humans, which I'm sure will be followed 3 days later by those fucking murdering everybody. But for those 3 days, yes, then you can do that. But in reality, you can't fucking do that. And believe me, anyone on the planet, if you said, you can have someone who's perfect in every way except she's a beer drinker, she likes beer, that is not going to stop anybody. I could be like 8 years into a recovery program and they say, we have your ideal perfect mate, but she does drink beer. I think I could make it work. Be like, well, she's ideal and perfect, so she's supportive, she helps me emotionally, I'll get my emotional fulfillment that I need from a relationship and maybe won't need to turn to booze for once in my pathetic life. Yeah, you know what? I think I can manage that. So here's what I'm saying. If you want to ask me whether or not a woman should be allowed to drink a beer, whether or not it should be frowned upon for a woman to drink a beer in general, of course I'm going to say, it's fine. Nobody gives a fuck. But if you're going to ask me, hey, is your romantic ideal this or that, and I pick one, I don't think you should be pissed off. All right? And maybe it means I don't want to date you. Fine. That's fine. You know? I just also, before we get just to bashing of what someone else said, I have a little article here from the Daily Mail. Woman's idea of the perfect man. A 6 foot, 48K a year, beer drinking meat eater with an Audi. Now this is from the UK. So I did convert 48K in pounds to dollars. That's $65,000 a year. So a humble 65K. Here we go. Many men would suggest that women are difficult to please bunch, but in actual fact, it transpires, there's an easy way for men to make themselves irresistible to women. They just need to be able to tick every box on a checklist of demands women have said contribute to the perfect man. According to this list, the perfect man eats meat, drives an Audi, and phones his mother twice a week, a poll of women revealed today. He also drinks lager or beer, not wine or spirits, and earns a comfortable $48,000 a year, which is 65. The ideal male will also be 6 feet tall, have short dark hair, and smart dress sense, similar to that of U.S. X Factor host Steve Jones. Vegetarians were revealed to be a turnoff, while being clean-shaven and in possession of a smooth, hair-free chest were said to be a bonus. Okay? Okay. So here's the deal. We discover, a demanding 15% said they would insist on a suitor having at least a master's degree or a PhD. 70% of girls said they would prefer to date a man who earned more than them. They also revealed girls don't like their other half to be too deep, with 43% preferring their chap to joke around and have a laugh rather than enjoy in-depth conversations. Although 86% of girls want a man who is sensitive, 64% only want him to say, "I love you," when he really means it. The poll found 39% of women would want her man to love shopping, but a third said they would like a man to leave the shopping side of things to her. Interestingly, women would rather her ideal man enjoy watching sport at the pub than watch soap operas and reality TV shows with them. Surprisingly, two-thirds of women would rather Mr. Perfect admitted it when he is eyeing up other girls rather than trying to cover it up. Other must-haves were the ideal man should hold a driving license, must be able to swim, and be able to ride a bike. And girls like a handyman. The poll found that he should be able to change a car tire, be able to knock down a door in an emergency, and completely rewire a plug. But it's not all about being a macho man. Mr. Wright also has to phone his mother regularly and cry during films. A spokesman for Austin Reed added, "Women certainly know what they want when it comes to that dream man. Some of the criteria in the list is pretty superficial, and it doesn't really matter if every man doesn't tick all the boxes. But on face value, you have to be attracted to a man, and how a man presents himself is going to be one of the first things you notice and key to the level of attraction." Okay. So here's the thing. Folks, I could choose to read that and be like really pissed off, right? I could choose to read this poll and say, women are shallow and horrible and unrealistic because Jesus fucking Christ. So I gotta have a PhD, and also somewhere in there, I have to be, let's see, it says in here, I should be muscly toned and athletic. You know, it takes me 17 minutes to get ready, but I should wear a lot of suits. I should drive an Audi. I have to eat meat. I should be clean-shaven, including my chest. I enjoy watching football. I'm educated. I like to joke around. You know, I'm super educated, but also I don't really like to have deep conversations, except sometimes I do. Or it's like, well, one-third of women want this, and the other third want the exact opposite. There you go. Okay? This is the thing. Whenever you take a poll and it's like, of women for men, it's like, how are you possibly... There's no way to capture what people want on this fucking spectrum. It's ridiculous. And I don't blame the people who took the survey, because it's like, hey, if I could construct my ideal woman, yeah, she'd be smart, rich, she'd like to joke around, she'd be just as comfortable with the boys as she was out on with the girls, and like to spend as much time alone as she'd like to spend with me, da-da-da-da. it's kind of this whole, it goes back to this whole thing of like, oh, they want Betty Crocker in the kitchen and a whore in the bedroom. It's like, I don't want that. I just want a combination of things that I like. I want the best possible version of a person. And this is the whole thing. This is the crux to me of the whole situation. As a guy, so now I have this information of what people want, right? Well, guess what? I'm never going to be 6 feet tall. It's not going to fucking happen. There's no way. Am I ever going to make $65,000? It'd be nice. But on the pace I'm at, it's going to be... I'll be fucking 55 years old by then. So it's not going to do me a lot of good. It's going to be a bunch of bullshit. So overall, I think what you have to do is say, I think you just got to be fucking honest with yourself, okay? Just be honest with yourself. Say, look, I'm not making $65,000 and I'm not over 6 feet tall, but I have a lot of other good qualities. I can joke with someone and also have a deep conversation. I think I'm a pretty good listener. And obviously, I can just talk and yell into nothing and sweat for a half hour with no fucking problem. That's pretty easy for me. I'm good at meeting parents. I met a dad the other day. I was thinking I wasn't too nervous. And it was so funny because I was thinking, why am I not more nervous about this? Shouldn't I be nervous? And then I thought, you know what? I bet I've met more people I'm dating, I've met their dads, more than most dads meet of, you know, boyfriends of their daughters. In other words, if you're a dad and you have a daughter, how many boyfriends do you end up meeting probably? Probably less than 3. In a lifetime, maybe. I'm sure it varies quite a bit. But, you know, I've met like fucking, I don't know, everyone I've dated, I've met their dad. So I don't know how many that is, like 7 or 8 people. I've met 7 or 8 dads, and I've had to start from scratch every time. And it's fine. Pretty good at meeting dads. So anyway, I have some qualities that, you know, a 6 foot tall guy who makes $65,000 does not have. And there are some qualities, too, that you can work towards. And this is the ultimate thing, right? It's, everyone says, okay, be comfortable with who you are, be cool with it. I think you have to do a balance, because there's 2 things you can do. You can change who you are, and be comfortable with who you are. I'm not saying change who you are, as in, this is who I am to my core, and now you're asking me to change. I'm just saying, you know, if you're not comfortable with the fact that you are, whatever, super, what would be something? I don't know, you have bags under your eyes. Okay. That really bothers you. That's your number one thing. Why don't you do some shit to fix it and then some extent of getting over it? Saying, here's how much effort. I'm willing to put in an extra 10 minutes every morning to work on these bags under the eyes. And after that, I'm calling it a fucking day. All right? So just do a combination of improving yourself, but let's not get crazy. If you want a tan, you hate your pale skin. I don't know, tan a little bit. And then get comfortable with being pale a little bit. Meet in the middle. It's gonna be good. That's all you gotta fucking do. Just be a real goddamn human. You don't have to be anyone's dream anything. Just be who you are. And then, you know, infect their dreams like goddamn Freddy Krueger until they think you are their dream person. And everything will be great.